And I want to continue on. I want to see people healed, and I want to see you move in your gifts of healing, because that's what it's all about. So I call this healing 2.0. Why not, eh? So what actually 2.0 is, it's actually now in the dictionary, used to denote a superior or more advanced version of an original concept, product, or service. A more advanced. I would say a more enhanced. I would say that we're not going to do things differently than Christ did, but we're going to do it a lot more. This is 2.0, and it goes on to eternity.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're going to see people healed. I'm going to believe that God can do anything. That he said in his word that he could do it. Why he doesn't do it, I don't know. There's a psalm in there that says in Psalm 139 that God knows all the days that you have before there is yet one of them. So that means your days are numbered. But we don't know that number, so we can't give up on believing that God is going to heal. He will bring things forth from the dead. And sometimes that's not a physical reality that we need to understand. It's a mental, an emotional. We need to start to believe that God can do what he said he can do. And it's not up to us. You can search yourself. I prayed for people who were in sin. I prayed for people when I was in sin and they got healed. What does that do to your theology? Sometimes I used Mazola oil. Can you imagine? Touch them with Mazola oil. It's supposed to be right from Jerusalem. Should smell. All the spy, I have it in my office. Some spilt in my drawer, and it's really nice in there. It's got all the spices. That is not what it's about. What it's about this morning is the love that the Father has for you, because he wants to heal you because he loves you. That's the trouble when you let me go away. I'll start yelling when I come back. I love it. So let's look at John 14, verse 11. It says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. So you can't help believing on Jesus. Let's start believing that, hey, that person's healed. How did that happen? How did that happen for the person that was at the gate beautiful who went in and they said, well, how did this happen? He says, I don't know. Well, you have to tell us how it happened. He says, I don't know. Who did it? I don't know. He wasn't concerned about the details. He was concerned that at one day he couldn't walk and the next minute he is running through and disturbing the service. I love that. We had it happen here. We had testimonies. I love that. Go ahead and disturb the service that we create to give glory to the God who created us.
Yes.
Very well, I tell you, Jesus says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I am doing, and they will do even greater things than these. What that means is we'll do more. It's more in number, not more different things. And so if you hear of somebody that's doing something really strange and different, run away. It's the best thing. Just run away. It doesn't matter whether he or she has a following of 10,000 people. Run away. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, run away. Because you'll do greater things than these in numbers, because I'm going to the Father. Hey, he came down here. He gave us an orthopraxy lesson. Where orthodoxy is when we learn these things, orthopraxy is when we put them to use. And so Jesus, for 3 years, walked the talk. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. This is critical. We don't spend enough time on this. I'm going to do whatever you ask in my name. Well, that's writing a ticket, isn't it? Maybe I could get that F1350. Hallelujah. I kind of felt really good in about the eighth and ninth day. It was like, I need to find somewhere to go. I really liked it. But we don't need those things. I can glorify God because we didn't get a Honda Civic to drive down there. That would have been okay. I have one. But do you see what he does because he loves us? That whole trip was just get down to California. Here's the address. Here's the keys. There's a swimming pool. There's a swimming pool for adults and for kids. We just sat and read and just baked in the sun, and we went to Marie Callender's Pies too many times. I have found 6.5 pounds that I didn't have. That's embarrassing. I have to choose my shirts now by which one fits, not which color. So I'll take that off. Lane's gone, so I'll fast. Hallelujah. No, I won't fast. I'll just eat better and do some exercise. So let's look at the scripture for a minute. Believe me when I say that. Can you do that? Can you just believe him? Believe him that he is in the Father and the Father is in him? Can you do that? He says, just believe me. Believe me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. See, I have an arm that moves like this, and I paid a therapist to help me, and I don't have that. This morning, the Lord said, hey, what about your arm? Because I wasn't thinking about my arm, because it's healed. He did that for my wrist years ago. He's done things like that in your life as well. Why does he do it? Because he loves you. Do you know that? He loves you. And when you are the recipient of this type of touch, whether it's physical, whether it's materially, or whether it's emotionally, or whether it's in your spirit, you glorify God. Because Jesus is in you, and he is in the Father, and he gets the glory. And we sang that so beautifully this morning. And I didn't orchestrate that. I didn't say, Pastor Randy, pick these songs so they go with my sermon. Never done that. Never done that. Won't ever do that. That's what he gets paid to do, and he better do it. No, it's not that way at all. It's that he is sensitive. The worship leaders are sensitive to the Holy Spirit because he wants us to come into the throne room of God to hear his word so that it sets into our heart and we become changed. And we actually get to know him better. So he says, whoever believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. Awesome. All you need to do is read what he's been doing. He's been doing some pretty exciting things. And we just sang that last song, and that's the illustration I'm going to use is Lazarus coming forth from the tomb. The stone's been rolled away, right? The stone's been rolled away. Jesus practiced on Lazarus. He had them roll a stone away, and then when he was inside, he rolled his own stone away. Dead. Go figure that one for power. The works that I have been doing, you'll do. They will do them even greater than these. Greater. Oh, don't get hung up on that, though, okay? Don't get hung up on my ministry needs to have greater, needs to be bigger, needs to be expanding, no, it doesn't. All it needs is you to fall in love with Jesus and then just be open and sensitive. Elaine and I were down in California. It was really hot, like 40 degrees, and we couldn't find a Starbucks or anything like that. And so we're kind of wandering over and really hot. I mean, it's really tough doing this. So we go to this Wood Ranch barbecue. Whew, man, I'll tell you, they know how to eat there. So we go in there, and all we just wanted a lemonade. And so we sit in there, and we kind of feel bad because it's a very busy restaurant, And we ordered these lemonades, and they came like pails, you know, and they're bottomless. Like my blood sugar went right over the moon. And it was all homemade, and it was really good, and I was just excited, and we're drinking this. And then the manager came by and said, where are you guys from? And we said, we're from Canada. The accent, eh? Canada, eh? And she says, so am I. I was born in Montreal. So we talked for quite a while. And we started to listen to what she was talking about and found out that her husband has been in and out of the hospital, out in the emergency ward for 20 years or so. Well, you know what? Hot weather and lemonade brought us to a place where we could pray for her. And I said, can I pray for you? And we prayed for her. Isn't that awesome? That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do that. And we were not going down. Well, you know, we're down here and God supplied everything for us to be down here. So we better be doing something for him. No, he didn't do that. He didn't say you can go down here and then go to into ministry. He said, go down there and lay around the pool. Go ahead, burn, bake, do whatever you want, but just go ahead. Don't worry about ministry. I didn't worry about the church. I prayed for you, but we have a staff here that is amazing. I didn't, this might sound bad, sorry, for you guys have to forgive me, but I just enjoyed the sun, and me and Abe Lincoln spent a lot of time together. These things you'll do in greater, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever he asks in you ask in my name. So that's the prayer in Jesus' name. Okay, don't get hung up on the formula, because if Jesus is speaking out of your heart, it is in Jesus' name. Okay, don't get hung up on whether it's Jesus only or it's the whole Trinity or it's the Holy Spirit. Don't get hung up on that. Get led by the Holy Spirit. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And when you lay hands on somebody, you pray, or you're obedient, just open the door of your obedience and let him do it. And you'll be blown away, because he loves every one of us. Amen. And all it boils down to, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. You see how it's all important? We need to glorify him, and we did so well this morning. I just love this church for the worship, the freedom in the worship. And the church we went to was very similar, except they had to have three services going. And so then they had to rush through, but they accommodated, and it was still an awesome service. So there's some confidence here I want to share with you about knowing that God is able to do what he said he would do, and it's worth worshiping him over anything else. And it's found in the book of Daniel in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, if we are thrown, they were talking to the king, if we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he doesn't, okay? Come on, you guys need to understand this. I need to understand that if he doesn't heal us, we're still going to serve him. If he doesn't do what we want, even we're not going to bow down to this world, to the mechanics or the power of this world ever. We're going to give the glory to God. We do not know his plan. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty. See the respect still? That we will not serve any gods or worship any image of gold that you set up. It just ain't going to happen. It just ain't going to happen. We're going to serve. If we get fired up, and they would have been fired up, killed bunch of the guards when they went to fire these guys into the furnace. And then, I don't know how far away, but there was a tube so that the king could look in. I don't know who gets to learn how much tube you need, but I would guarantee it's the guys without eyelashes and eyebrows. They're too close. No, that's got to add some on there. Okay, king, you'll have both your eyelashes and your eyebrows. Safe to look in now. And he looks in there and he says, there's not three people, but there's four. Because Jesus is with you in the fire. Jesus is with you in the flood. You need to know that he's there because he loves you. And if you love him, you will understand that he is touching and ministering in your life, no matter what you see or feel. Make any sense? Some of you may be going, well, yeah, but you don't know the excruciating pain that I'm in right now. And I don't, except I know what I went through. And my doubts, and we'll look at this portion of Scripture. We all doubt. We can't, I wouldn't doubt. Not me, boy. Just like Peter, not me. All the other guys, I don't trust them either. But me, you could set your watch. They didn't have watches then, but you could set your watch on me. Just know that, Jesus. I love the Scriptures because they're so real. Let's look at this. John 11, 1 to 3. Now there was a man named Lazarus who was sick. How many in here of you are sick this morning? He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one that poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So she was the one also that Jesus cast seven demons out of. Like, she was she had quite a testimony. She didn't always follow the Lord. So the sisters went up to Jesus and said, "The Lord, the one you love, is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death." But we know it does. So was he lying? No. We sang it. The power over death. The power over death. Death, people come back to life. I was a paramedic, and I did CPR on people, and they were dead. They were dead for 15, 20 minutes. They were dead. Flat line. The only movement in their heart was this. Me doing this for 45 minutes to an hour and a half. And then they go. Were they dead? I guess so. Not dead now. You want to believe that that just blows your paramedic socks off. You want to believe that that is such a powerful picture. So Jesus didn't go, "Oh man, I got to get over there before he takes his last breath. I really need to have kind of a good resume before I take off." So he says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, all three of them. So he went, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed 2 days longer. Now, if I was one of the disciples, I don't know about you, but I'd go, "Jesus, he's dead. He's going to die," and we'll see that. But if you don't get over there, that's like, what's the ETA on the ambulance? 2 days? That's not good. The ETA, estimated time of arrival, is really important. That's why we have fire trucks and ambulances and all sorts of police cars and stuff. We want to get to the scene right away because there is a factor of time in the medical field. But there is no factor of time with Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, 2 days after, making it 4 days since Lazarus died, was really important to the Jewish customs because the spirit of the body would float around for 3 days. And so if Lazarus came forth in 3 days, that would mean that the spirit just went back into him and there was no miracle. So he made it 4 days. He made just an extra 24 hours there just to say, "Hey, this is not a miracle. This is a miracle, I mean." So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there for 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea. And they said, because remember, they were with him in some of the tough times as well. And they said, "A short time ago, not that long ago, the Jews there tried to stone you. And we're going back?" Like, that's not a good neighborhood for us to go to, Jesus. Like, do you remember the rocks that were coming? Do you remember? And they're not just like a handful of gravel that my grandkids were throwing at the hospital window when they were visiting my mom. These are big rocks. These are big rocks. And they would take them and they would pummel people in their arms and their vital organs and in their head, and they would kill them. And so Jesus said, "Well, let's go back through Judea." And they're going, "Let me just show you on my iPhone here. Remember this one here? This was really close." And Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of the day? Daylight. Anyone who walks in the daylight will not stumble, for he sees the world's light. For they see by the world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." What was he saying? I am the light. We can go anywhere, anytime. And that's where you need to know, if God calls you to go somewhere and it doesn't look safe, if he's called you, go. If you're going and he hasn't called you, stay. Stay. Because he's the light. He'll show you. He'll show you the safe things. He'll show you. And after he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has just fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. And I'm one of these disciples. His disciples replied, then, Lord, if he sleeps, he'll just get better. Isn't that right? A little chicken noodle soup? You know, stay home. Isn't that true? You know, a little bit of ice on that. You'll be okay. Jesus had been speaking about his death, but his disciples thought it meant natural sleep. Please understand one thing, that sometimes we don't understand what Jesus is saying to us, and it's okay to ask. It's okay to ask, and it might be something that blows you out of the water because you do not understand that he can do this. You believe he can, but many times I say, Lord, help my unbelief. And of course, he went there, said to them, roll the stone away, and they go, poof, this has really been a hot summer. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to, they don't want to go, I don't want to do that because it's going to smell. Jesus said, roll it away. And then he prays to the Father and says, hey, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it for them so that they'll know who you are in me and you'll get the glory. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And I love this piece because Lazarus did have life in him who was dead and came forth. And then he said to the people that were gathered around there, looking and astonished and powerfully overwhelmed by the love of God, bringing the dead back to life, he said to them, help untangle his grave clothes. So we have a part to play. He didn't come forth with a new robe on, which he could have. He came forth in grave clothes that he said, let's have you untie them for him. 1 Corinthians 12, 27, 28 says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing and helping and of guidance and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do not all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greatest gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way. We are blessed to get these gifts, but don't get hung up on which gifts you have. All right? They all come from God. They all happen to minister to people so he can be glorified. So he says, check this out. The more excellent way. And we have all heard this scripture. If I speak in the tongues in chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong with a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have faith that can move a mountain, we sang about that, but not have the love, or have love, I am nothing. If I give all that I possess to the poor and give my body over to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. You see, love is patient and love is kind. Think of God the Father in this. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. He does not dishonor others. He is not self-seeking. He is not easily angered. He keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices in the truth. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. They haven't. Please don't get hung up on that piece either. There are still prophecies. But there's a time when we won't need prophecies because we'll stand in the very presence of God. We won't need any of these gifts. We won't need the armor of the spiritual warfare armor because there's no battles. We'll be in the presence, dressed in garments of salvation and tied over with the robe of righteousness. We won't need this stuff, but now we do. But don't get hung up on which one's bigger and better and greater than that. But where there are prophecies, they'll cease, and where there are tongues, they'll be stilled, and where there is knowledge, it will pass away. But we know in part. Now, we know in part and prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is part disappears. And maturity is what he's talking about here. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I became like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the childish things behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then you shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest is love. This morning, I want you to know that God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you, not so that there's a great testimony that will be part of it, but that he loves you. That's why he wants to do it. He wants to minister his love to you to make you whole and walk in wholeness and in the power of his Holy Spirit, so that you know when you are in the darkness, you have the light and you can get through there and bring glory to God. Does that make any sense? I want you to stand. I want the team to come back. And we're going to have a prayer line here. Because I believe in prayer. And I couldn't do that, to be honest with you. It could almost make me swear before. Almost, I didn't swear. Some of you are thinking he did. What did I say? I never said. But I can do this, and I couldn't do this before. And it would go up and down my arm. I'd have tennis elbow, and I've never played tennis. But some of you know what tennis elbow is, and it's excruciating pain. Go down into my wrist, and it would just go up and down my arm like it just had freedom to do that. And these guys weren't super powerful spiritual people, I don't think. They were just a couple who believed and really believed because his dad was cured of stage 4 cancer. We have people in our congregation right now, and you know who you are, that God has intervened and touched you, and you do not have cancer anymore. We know that there are people in here that have had heart problems and back problems, and you name it, this physical thing breaks down. We're not going to get into throwing crutches up in the air and running around in here. I'm not going to go there, all right? But I do believe that we need to start believing that God can heal anything, that he's able to heal anything, and that he wants to heal you because he loves you. Amen. And Pastor Randy's going to lead us and the team. And I want the prayer team to come up. I'm going to give you some oil here. And then we're going to pray for you. We're going to believe that God is going to heal you. And even if you've been up here 35 or 40 or 60 or 90 times, come back up here. Because I believe that this morning, God wanted us to go to 2.2.